Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. You are tuning in to the live radio blog talk broadcast of Past Generation Loss and Mix Affected by Psych in conjunction with The Word is Right. I tell you, and you are following with the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, Church of God in Christ, where the district superintendent, Pastor Robert R. Sanders II, is the host, pastor, founder of the ministry. I tell you, oh, my God, I tell you, it has been such a blessing to hear and see the Word of God manifesting for you, for itself. We're going to be on here up until about 5 minutes before the show ends because we want to view the homegoing service of our General Chairman of General Assembly Chairman, Bishop James Hunt. He passed away a week before the convocation, and we'll get into that later. Right now, we need to keep Lady Hunt and the entire family and church family in prayer. They're viewing the body as we speak on today down there at the Holy Convocation before it ends, officially ends on tomorrow. But we want to pray for those family. They've been through a lot, I tell you. We'll talk about that later. But I wanted to recap the Holy Convocation. I tell you, we had a beautiful, 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 beautiful service. Oh, my God. As the kids say, OMG. Or, oh, my goodness. You know, Tuesday I had to work the polls. And I didn't get a chance to hear Pastor Orrin Boyd. Or anyone, or Bishop P.A. Brooks, because I wasn't able to hear them on Tuesday. But definitely to be in the session of Wednesday with Bishop Taylor. Bishop Taylor went straight old school on Wednesday. I mean, he literally just went straight old school. The message, it was a place and a time. For some reason, a lot of people come away from repenting, you know. People are not repenting for what they do to folk. Then you got these Ghostbusters that feel, okay, we're going to straighten everybody out. We're going to whoop them. We're going to kick their butts. We're going to kill them and all. You know, we have to know that when you are saved, there is something that comes along with the life of being saved. There's a lifestyle that must be conducive to the Word of God, you know, holiness without which no man will see the Lord. The messages of going forth, you know, and right after Bishop Taylor got through, he felt a little dizzy, a little lightheaded. Well, he had been fasting, and this is when, you know, when you're fasting, there's a lot that is contended with when you are preparing to fast. And a lot of people don't know that when you are fasting, I worked in the medical field for over 13 years, and I do know that it's important to stay hydrated. It's important to, you know, take your medication if you're on any medication, but make sure that you continue to hydrate yourself. Bishop J. Drew shared, oh my God, Bishop J. Drew shared, I saw it with my eyes. The man preached a message. I am not ashamed. And he had a little incident. I saw it. I saw it when he, you know, actually was losing strength. I saw it with my own eyes. And I'm yelling, you know, Drew, the blood of Jesus, Drew. I'm just yelling. And I'm like, move, y'all, get Karen. I'm just yelling and screaming. But for me to see it, that was something to see. You know, he as well was dehydrated. He had to go to the emergency room. They had to take care of him. So, you know, man of God, please hydrate yourself. We know there's a lot of tension going on with a lot of elections taking place. So today and tomorrow, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, have to be dealt with. But men of God, please take care of your bodies. Don't let nothing allow you to not be able to take care of your body. It is so serious to take care of your body. Because in order for you to take care of your body, you know, you don't have to hurt yourself serving in any denomination. I don't care what denomination it can be. It can be Church of God, it can be Full Gospel, it can be Baptist, it can be Missionary Baptist, Church of God of Christ, Catholic. You don't have to kill yourself to do the work of the Lord. That's not a requirement. So take care of your bodies. But the messages still went forth. Bishop Whitehead, he preached in the morning. He just preached. These men preached. You know, forgiveness, repentance. These are the things that are so important. Let's look at some Bible scriptures this morning about forgiveness. You know, it's been a lot of stuff going on. You know, the thing about it is that when you talk about forgiveness, you got to understand why Jesus Christ died. And I don't think a lot of people understood, they don't understand the Bible, except for where they want to know it. That's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to know how to divide the word of truth so you can be able to come into the knowledge of the word of God and repentance and forgiveness. So let's look at 20 Bible verses about forgiveness. Let's look at a few of those right quick. In Matthew 14 and 15, it says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. One of the things Bishop Blake talked about was getting yourself together and not allowing your past to tear you down to the point to where you can't come back up. Recently, there was a video put up about me, and I don't. One thing, let me very well be clear on this, because you know the video that was put up was really a fabrication, because that video don't know me personally. I've never seen them in my house. I've never seen them go out to church with us. I've never seen no one do anything but ask for information. But to sit up, literally, you know, when I was told, when I came back from the election, I was so tired, getting up 5 o'clock in the morning. And my husband said, don't even say nothing. I said, no, I'm not. You know why? Because that's Satan. That's Satan. But I've forgiven the person. But the thing about it, to fool with them, no. When you do things to people that you don't know and they have not done anything to you, I had to learn how to forgive, because in my mind, it's like it takes too much to go back to what you used to be, you know, far as wanting to hurt somebody. You know, I never slung drugs or hang around gangs and got a criminal record and all that. So when you think about somebody wanting to just create something on you because they don't like you, because you added something that they said to do, but then they want to, well, I'm going to take a little further. I'm going to bring it. No. And I told my husband, I said, honey, it was a lesson. And then Bishop Willie James Campbell came behind and said, let it go. It ain't worth holding on to. And it's not. It's not even worth talking about it. But I use that as a metaphor to say, listen, you got to forgive people. You got to forgive them no matter how stupid they act, no matter how cantankerous they could be, no matter how evil they can sit up and plot against you, no matter how they would try to destroy your reputation. See, while they're doing that, they're only building up blessings for you. That's what they're doing. So you have to forgive them, because the Bible even said when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Anything that you may try to pull out on a person's life, no matter what you want to try to talk about, I'm going to go through the family. I'm going to destroy the family. I'm God. I'm this. I'm that. No. Because I'm going to tell you something. I ain't saw your name in a book. And I ain't seen where God told you to do this. What you need to do for anybody that feels we're unforgiveness, we can't forgive. Well, if you don't want to forgive, guess what? All the sins you've done in the past, you will not be forgiven. So you've got to learn how to forgive. That means not allowing what happened to you to control you to the point that when you go into hate, to where you go into debauchery, to where you go into self-righteousness, to where you come out wanting to shoot everybody because you hate somebody. And, you know, to hate someone is a very strong word. Is a very strong word. And the thing about it is that when you hate someone, you are not of God. You are not of, because God don't hate nobody. I'm going to tell you something about God that folks don't really know if you read the Bible. God is a God of love, but if you piss God off, he's a God of wrath. So no matter what a person has done to you, I've had to learn that growing up into the salvation of the Lord to forgive people, but you don't have to fool with them. Cut them off. Don't call them. Don't let them call you. Don't email them. Don't let them email you. Back in the day, we had no emails. We had letters. Used to write people with letters instead of our postage stamp. So you forgive people. You forgive people. And that way God, but see, when they're doing damnable things to you, they're let up temper for you. That's all they're doing. Higher level, higher devils. And that's what you have to forgive. Because if you don't forgive them, all of your sins that you've done from day one when you were born into this world, shaped into iniquity, those sins will never be forgiven by the Father. And that's the Bible. Let's look at John, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you confess what you did to a person, take for instance, I have one of my girlfriends. We talk every day. If I go and she says something that is insulting to me, I'm not going to sit up and rant her all on social media and tear her down. I'm plotting in my mind to destroy you, thinking that I am going to destroy you, and you're not destroying me. You're only destroying yourself. Because while you're sitting up plotting, scheming, planning, and being manipulative and creating lies to destroy people's lives, don't you know that if you don't confess what you're doing, that you will not be cleansed from all unrighteousness? You are just as garbage as to anybody that gets through eating food or buying meat out of a raw meat pack, because you have too much hate. And to allow too much hate for a person that you don't even know, that is a sin right there, because God is watching what you do. That goes for anyone in ministry. This is a message for people that are very unlearned or unscriptorial of the word of God. Let's go to Isaiah 43:25-26. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sin no more. See, that's the thing about it, is that when you repent And it's not bad to repent. But see, when you go trying to dig up people's stuff, not knowing that somebody will come and dig your stuff up, and it may be worse off than what you're doing to somebody else. Why are you doing evil to somebody? Somebody doing evil to you. But you gotta learn how to confess. If you molested somebody and you were in the ministry and you knew it was wrong, what you need to do is go to God, tell the Lord to give you a heart to repent, ask for forgiveness, and then you need to go seek some help to find out what your problem is. That is what's going on within ministry today. There are a lot of people that are sitting up in the church with abuse, sexual misconduct, molestation, rape. Gossip ain't nothing. Gossip is like TMZ. They gossip. So anything that's talking or speaking ill of a person, you are in sin. You are practicing sin. You go all out to want to hurt somebody, what you're doing is you're trying to kill them. See, all of that plays a part in sin. But if you, God even said, I'll blot it out. But you got to repent. You got to confess it. The Bible says before you take Holy Communion in 1 Corinthians, it's let a man examine himself. You got to examine yourself. Because if you are so haughty in your attitude, you're not able to see your sins. You're not able to see your sins. Now, once you repent and you ask for forgiveness, then he will not remember it no more. So it's not anyone's right to go and dig somebody's past to go and say, well, I'm going to dig it up because I have it right. No, you don't. Because hey, there are some folks that are not saved, and they ain't gonna tell you they gonna shoot you. They gonna come and they're gonna have you killed. You have to be careful. Your whole family will come down. You will bring curses upon your family. If you work in a job, your job will be out. If anything happened to your family, it will be taken from you because you're setting up traps to hurt other people, and it doesn't make you look good and make you look like you're a dog. And that, even a dog, I'm not going to even say a dog. I got more respect for a dog because some dogs have respect for themselves. And make you look like you are mentally ill and you're not saved. Let's go to the Bible scripture that talks about pride. Because, see, unforgiveness brings you to pride. Because so many feel, well, I'm the one that sent to do this. No, you're not. You don't sit up and destroy people's lives because that's what you want to do. And that's what Bishop was talking about yesterday. And I always said, I was never anti anybody. I'm the Bible. Anywhere I go, I am I deal with the Bible is what I listen to. I don't listen to nobody else. If you talking good, you talking good. If you start talking stupid, I cut you off. It's simple. Because I know what type of spirit you possess. Now, in Galatians 6:4, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. That's in the book of Galatians. Each one should test what you're doing, what your actions are portraying. What is it doing? When I was in school at Liberty, we had to do a hypothesis testing. This is what the various theorists would do. Sigmund Freud, they would do tests on a hypothesis to see what is the outcome and how would you compare it to your own actions. Are your actions biblical? And I mean biblical without your thought in it. Because, see, that's what goes back to Proverbs 3:6. And it goes back to trust in the Lord. I'm sorry, 3:5. Trust in the Lord and lean not to thy own understanding. See, that's where you come in to using that scripture of not using your own understanding. You don't sit up and I'm going to plot to destroy my brother in the church because I don't like them. I hate them. I wish they would die. They make me sick. You don't get on my nerves. It's a lot of folk get on my nerves in the church. But I don't have time to be sitting up plotting to kill them. So test your actions. While you're plotting for someone else, you're being plot too. But guess what? God is doing his own plotting because he don't take your end out. He going to make you suffer for trying to hurt somebody else. Let's go over to Isaiah 2 and 12. The Lord Almighty has a day and a stone for all the proud and lofty. That means your day coming. Your day coming. For all that is exalted, they will be humbled. So the thing about it is that while you walking around with a prideful and lofty spirit, and you're trying to hurt somebody else, and being manipulative and facetious, guess what? You got your day coming. Because stuff will start happening, and you're not going to know what's going on. Why? Because where you feel that you're the Ghostbusters for everybody's life, you're not a Ghostbuster. Your name is not in there. You can't take one of our forefathers' names and say, I'm doing this because I'm them. No. The one person that I love the most, or I admire, one of the persons I admired the most in the Bible was David. Every time David committed sin, David went back and got it right. David knew what to do. David didn't say, oh, my name is David. I can do what I want to do. No, David did not do that because the minute he set up that thing, he set up a contract on Uriah's life, guess what happened? Nathan the prophet came and told him about himself. By using the story of the rich man. That's what he did. So when you sit up and you plot to hurt someone else's life, not looking at what your past used to be, if you got delivered from your past, you wouldn't do it. But if you haven't been delivered by your past, then you're supposed to do anything. And I believe a lot of people understood that in the convocation. That, man, I made a mistake. I should have done this to so-and-so, so-and-so, or this to my family, or whatnot. You know, if you're sitting up trying to destroy somebody's marriage, guess what? Yours not going to survive. To sit up and tell a wife or a husband, you need to look at them or whatever. No. You are a destroyer. And you know what? When you say that to anybody, they can come back and literally sue you in court because you have no counseling degree. You never go up anybody that's got a counseling degree or a therapist degree or a psychology degree. You don't go up against Dr. Phil. You don't go up against Ayala. You don't go up against them in the natural when they can come right back around and make you look like a fool. It's real talk. James 4 and 6. But he gives us more grace. The scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor. So when you proud and you feel, hey, I'm the king. Guess what happened to, I ain't trying to be funny, but I'm just using it as a tactic, that, what's his name in the Lion King? Scar was sitting up being manipulative because he was jealous of his brother. He was envious of his brother, but his brother was not proud. His brother was the king of the pride land. He was showing the animals how to survive, where not to go, where he only reigned in certain areas. He didn't reign in certain areas. And he told Simba, don't go to the elephant graveyard. That's where the hyenas lived. And the hyenas were very manipulative, very cunning, very dangerous. But because little Simba was so interested in going down there to see what the elephant graveyard, he and Nala went down there, got down there with the hyenas and whatnot. They almost got him until the father came along and he put fear in them because they knew he was not going to come down there bothering them. You don't go bothering people because you want to bother somebody. That's infantile in the brain. So what happened in the Lion King? See, there are lessons. When you look at cartoons, there are lessons for you to learn about the meaning of what it was to be a king. Scar was on the sideline. He wanted something to happen. So what did he do? He got the hyenas together and plotted to kill his brother. That's what he did. He plotted to kill his brother. And what he did was he told them to stir up conflict with the other animals that they knew were going to be afraid of them, to cause a rumble in the village down there. And in the meantime, what's his name? the king, Mufasa didn't know, but he always had the birds. He always had the birds. You know, birds are the friends. This is the friends of y'all. I love birds. And he said, "Sire, there's trouble in the Pride Land." And he said, "Okay, where's my son?" That's the first thing he's thinking about. See, Nala wasn't nowhere in the picture. Nala was not, she was not in the picture, but he was down there playing. And the herd came on because of what the hyenas did. The hyenas started the herd, and guess who got hurt? Trying to save his son, and then his brother turned around and manipulated the little Simba and told Simba, "It's your fault." See what I mean? I don't like Scar. Oh, I was so happy when Scar died, because guess what? The same thing he did to hurt his brother and to lie and have little Simba run away for years. But see, it was the teaching of his father that stayed in his head, but he didn't know how to process it. There are a lot of damaged people in ministry, period. And you don't know how to process your anger. You don't know how to process the hurt. You don't try to sabotage somebody else's life with lies and deceptions, because it's going to come back and it's going to bite you in your butt. Because while you plotting, God has got something for your business. I promise you, you're going to start losing things. Things are starting to become unusual. Sickness will start to reign that you ain't never had, because you're sitting up trying to kill other people. And you really don't have a justifiable reason. And that's a bad thing to do, is to sit up and allow hate to be in your heart. This is why the Bible is telling us for you to sit up and let the proud, let your proud show. You're a prideful person. You don't know God. And this is where your mind starts to wander. And in Philippians 2:3, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit." You don't do things because that's what you fear. You don't do things because that's what you think. You don't go and create a problem out of your own thinking you're going to get something out of it. You're not. Because you know who only follows people that do that stuff? They're weak-minded, and they're not together, and they're not safe, and they don't know how to face their issues. So when you sit up and plot against hurting other people, there's something wrong with your mind. That means you're still in a sinful state of being. But as our bishop said on yesterday, let's get our act together. Let's stop allowing Satan to put us in trick bags. And if somebody want to go and do something as dumb as wanting to tear reputation down, let them do it. Because they don't know you. They ain't been nowhere in your life. They ain't been nowhere. Nowhere in your world. Let them do it, because you know what they're doing? They're only blessing you. But see, at the end, they got to meet God anywhere they go. And guess what? God is going to bring them before his judgment. And when he does, that's it. That's all there is to it. Well, got to go. Got work to do today. Had a long week. Had a very long week. But I thank God for what happened on yesterday, and let's continue to pray for the church as a church of the body of Christ in its entirety. And just to leave you all with something, all of you all that are members of other denominations, you always know it's going to be travesty and problems. But if you really don't like to be in that denomination you're in, don't be in it. Don't go around it. Don't talk about it. Leave it out of your mind. Find something else to do. And if you find something else to do, I guarantee you that your life will be better off, peaceful, without a lot of drama. Don't create drama that you don't need. Because drama that you don't need in your life, all you're making is making your own self be set up for failure. Until later on, back to work again on this week. Talk to you later. You all be blessed.